I'd like to dedicate it lezechus kol hacholim, ubeinayim Aaron Shaul ben Rachel, v'yes Moshe ben Zuleta. Please insert any names that you may know, and just in general, b'soch kol shar chole amo Yisrael v'chol chole ha'ola. We really need a Yeshua bekarov, and let the zechus of the Limud Torah here b'tzavta in this chabura, let it be for the zechus of Klal Yisrael b'chol makom shehem. So what I would like to do is share with you a series of thoughts on Haggadah Shel Pesach, thoughts that you that I find to be very inspiring going into Pesach, and specifically Leil HaSeder. And they're also great gems that you may want to share at your Seder table and perhaps even inspire others. If, unfortunately, this year you're making two Sedarim, for whatever reason, so then you'll be able to divide that. I hope that I'll be giving you enough to share a little bit the first night, a little bit the second night. But in Mirza Hashem, my tefillah is that we'll all be in Yerushalayim with the Karban Pesach, and my bracha to all of you is that we're going to have to somehow make time to fit all these Divrei Torah into one evening. Hold on 1 second, please. I'm giving a shira. Okay. Unfortunately, I think it's wiser not to take questions during this shira, just because I want to get in as many as possible. Where you can feel free to do. I'm numbering the Divrei Torah. If you do have any questions, just write to me, write an email to me. Rebbe, I have a question on Dvar Torah number 3, even if it's, can you say it again? Or, you know, can you speak it out again? I'll be happy to respond to those emails. So let us begin. The first two stages of the Seder are Kadesh Urchatz. Kadesh, the Shlavim, these stages of the Seder, are really something that we only have the Seder night. We don't have them all year round, even though every Friday night there is a Seder, but the Seder isn't given names. We don't have a whole list of Simane HaSeder. It is for this reason that some of the Mefarshim throughout the generations, they found significance in the very stages of the Seder. Just the fact that they're given names indicates some significance. So, just give me 1 second. Yes, the Kedushas Levi, Reb Levi Yitzchak Miberdyshev, this is idea number 1. So he has a drush on the words Kadesh Urchatz. Normally, says the Kedushas Levi, all year round, a Jew is expected first to cleanse himself of the averos of the past, and only then to ascend to greater and greater levels of Kedusha. As the Torah says, as we say in Tehillim, Sur Meira, Vasei Tov, all year round we have a Seder. First you have to release the sins of your past, Sur Meira, and only then does God accept you to enter his sanctuary, Kiviyachol, and create a relationship with him. However, says the Kedushas Levi, one night a year where the Seder is reversed, Kadesh Urchatz, God loves us, God loves his children Israel this night, to the point that even if we come before him with our baggage and all of our failures and all of our sins, God says, I will accept you as you are. First Kadesh, you can strive for and even attain great levels of Kedusha this night, even before you have cleansed yourself, you, just as you are, like a parent who accepts back a child, just the way the child is. And we're, our hope is that after that Kedusha, after forging that relationship with God, then the next step will be Orchatz. Indeed, we will be successful in cleansing ourselves of all of our evil doings of the past. The Kedushas Levi went on to darshan the Pasuk, U'pasach Hashem al ha-Pesach. Of course, it says in the Torah that God passed over the doors of the Jewish people. So the Kedushas Levi lends an additional meaning to these words in the Torah. What door did the Ribono Shel Olam pass over? The Kedushas Levi thinks this Pesach, this opening, refers to the famous Mamar Chazal, Pischuli Pesach, Kechudo Shel Machat. God says to the Jewish people, he says to them, I want you to take the first step. You make the first move. Pischuli Pesach, show me that you want it. Make the first step towards cleansing yourself, towards doing tshuva. And then God says, "V'ani aftach lachem Pesach kepischo shel ulam," and I will enlarge that opening like the size of a hall. So the Kedushas Levi says, on this night, Pasach Hashem al Pesach, God is willing to skip over that opening. He's willing to skip over that requirement that we have all year round, that we have to take that first move and that we have to cleanse ourselves and we have to do all the hard work. God says, Kadesh. God says, approach me this night and form that relationship with me even before you have dealt with the mistakes of your past. It's a unique opportunity that we have on Pesach night because of the Ahava, the special love that God feels for us every year on the night of the Seder night. Idea number two, this is Rav Kook on Halach Ma'anya. Rav Kook has a beautiful idea. At the end of Halach Ma'anya, it says, Hashata Hacha, this year we are here. This is, of course, written in Chutz La'aretz. The Shana Haba, the Ara di Yisrael. Next year, may we find ourselves in Israel. So Rav Kook says, what is the Baal Haggadah trying to express here? This year we're here, next year let us be in Israel. So Rav Kook says, whenever in our lifetimes we try to attain something which is unnatural for us, whenever a human being tries to attain a level, a madrega that's not fit for him, so it always has to be a gradual process. It's very slow. It develops slowly. It's got to go step by step. And then ultimately, after all these intermediary steps, so a person can attain that level that's above him. However, if there's a level that's already cut out for you, it's already reserved for you, this is your natural madriga. So a natural madrega, says Rav Kook, doesn't need a whole long process. You don't have to go step by step. You can be where you are today, and you can be at that madrega, which is natural for you. You can be there tomorrow. The nafka mina between trying to attain something above your level and trying to attain something that's on your level, the nafka mina is it a gradual, long process, or can it be a process that really happens overnight? So we say at the end of Halach Ma'anya that Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, is something that was tailor-made for the Jewish people. This is custom-made for us. Eretz Yisrael is given to us as a matana. It's ours. Therefore, in order for us, in order for the Jewish people to return to Israel, you don't need a long historical process that takes centuries and centuries. It could be that today the Jews are scattered. And next year, all the millions of Jews, wherever they are in the world, they can actually be in Israel. Because Israel is not something that is above our Madrega. Eretz Yisrael is something that was given to the Jewish people. It's specifically made and created for us. As a result, you can have something that historically seems impossible. That millions of Jews scattered throughout the world next year, within 1 year, they're all going to be centralized in one geographic location. Rav Kook says it's true. It can happen in a year because this is the natural state. This is not an unnatural state for us. This is the natural state of the Jewish people to be in Eretz Yisrael. The third idea I would like to present is Manishtana Halayla Azemi Kol Halelos. Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful idea on the Manishtana. There are many things that we do Seder night that are different. We could probably list many more than four. Why is it that the child is asking specifically about these four shinuyim? The matzah, the maror, the dipping, and kulanu mesubim. Why is it that the child is specifying this in the Manishtana? So Rav Asher Weiss says he thinks that Manishtana isn't really four questions. Manishtana is really one question. In fact, if you look at the text of Manishtana, in fact, it only is one question. Manishtana alayla zemikol alelos. The other four sections of Manishtana are statements. Shebichol halelos ano ochlim chametzu matzah, alayla zekulo matzah. There's no question mark there. That is a statement. So Rav Asher Weiss says there's really only one question. What is the question? The child is looking at what's going on at the Seder table and he sees a contradiction. He says, I can't make sense out of what's happening tonight. Is tonight a zecher? Are we remembering the shibud, the pain and the suffering of the Jewish people throughout the generations? Or is tonight a night that we remember Geula, and that we celebrate the victory of the Jewish people throughout the generations? The child looks on one hand, he sees the matzah, the lechem oni, he sees the maror. On the other hand, what does he see? He sees mesubim. We're leaning like kings, and we're dipping our food. Avadim don't do that. So the child in Manishtana is bothered by the contradictions of this night. What is this night all about? What are we commemorating? Is this a Yom Tov? Or is this Tisha B'Av? And what's the answer? How do we answer the child? It's not a night of contradictions. Avadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. Tonight we have a mitzvah to remember both aspects of Jewish history. They go hand in hand. It is impossible to separate the suffering of the Jewish people throughout the generations and their salvation that we have enjoyed in each generation throughout the generations. B'chol dor v'dor, omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. We must state that and we must act that out and we must focus on the suffering of the Jewish people throughout the generations, because otherwise you wouldn't really fully be able to appreciate that Kadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyada. So we tell the child, yes, tonight is a night of stiros. Tonight is a night of contradictions, because isn't Jewish history full of these contradictions, these yeridos and aliyos, these times of darkness? But after every darkness, we appreciate and we recognize and we celebrate the great light that God brings us. Wow, I thought that was an amazing idea. Another beautiful idea that I heard, I don't remember what the source is for this, but Reb Chaim Brisker says that one of the main differences between Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Zechira that we do all year long is that Sipur is Biderech She'ela Utshuva. In other words, all year long, every single night, we have a mitzvah to remember the Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's unique on the night of the Seder night? That the story is told Derech She'ela Utshuva. It starts with Manishtano. We have a child asking, and then we respond. And the Rambam points out, even if you don't have a child, you have two adults that know. One asks the other. So I once heard a beautiful idea. Why do we do it that way? Why does Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim have to be the Derech Shel She'ela Utshuva? So the idea is, what's the difference between an Eved and a Ben Chorin? If you think about it, what's the difference? What's the real difference, the true difference between an Eved and a Ben Chorin? A Ben Chorin also has a whole list of obligations and responsibilities. What's the difference between an Eved and a Ben Chorin? An Eved is someone who isn't allowed to ask questions. There's an Adon, there's a master, and the master gives a job to the Eved. And the Eved's responsibility is just to carry out the will of the master. No questions asked. The master says jump, the Eved says how high. There's never a challenge. There's never a question. There's never a give and take. There's never a dialogue between them. You know what makes us different? What makes the Jewish people different? We are B'nai Chorin to ask. We are B'nai Chorin to ask, what is Dvar Hashem? What does God want from us? What's the Geder of the Halacha? This is what we do in the Beis Medrash all day. How is a Sugya in Gemara? How is it structured? It starts with an Ibailahu and a Tashma. And this one asking that one. And it's all about question and answer. So of course we have responsibilities. Of course we're Meshubad to Ratzon Hashem. But the difference is that we are B'nai Chorin to ask the questions, to challenge, to say, Rebbe, what are you talking about? And to speak back and to challenge the previous generation. Until the MS is Yotzei La'or. So how do we begin the celebration of our freedom? We begin the celebration with Shilas. We begin the celebration of our freedom. We can ask. That in and of itself is the greatest indication that we are B'nai Chorin. Wow. Okay, moving right along to Avadim Hayinu. So Rav Kook has a beautiful idea on Avadim Hayinu. I see some faces here from last year. You guys probably remember this. I'm just going to give you one of these warnings ahead of time. You got to be careful how you present this to our Torah. This could be offensive if you present it the wrong way. Or if maybe you're sitting at the table with someone of a different hashkafa than you. Just plan out how to say this. So it says in Avadim Hayinu, it says the following. It says, Avadim Hayinu l'faro b'mitzrayim. By the way, it's a good idea to have a Haggadah in front of you. V'yotzienu Hashem elokeinu misham b'yad chazaka v'zroan etuya. So Rav Kook points out that there are three types of avadim. You can be an eved to your own king. You can be an eved to the king of your nation. But at least you're a servant, at least you're a slave to somebody who's not foreign to you. Then there's a lower level of slavery. And that is an Eved to a Melech Zar. You're an Eved to some other king. There's some other king that conquered your country. And he took you as an Eved. But at least there's a Nechama Purta. At least there's some comfort there. At least you're in your own land. Yes, you're forced to serve a foreign king. But at least you're comforted by the fact that you're in your own land. The worst kind of eved, the lowest form of slavery, is an eved lemelech zar be'eretz zara. To be an eved to a foreign king in a foreign land, that's the worst kind of slavery. And Rav Kook says, this is how we begin the Haggadah. Avadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. We reached the lowest levels of slavery. Because not only were we avadim to a foreign king, avadim hayinu lefaro, but it wasn't even in our own land. It was in Mitzrayim. Now, what did God do? God took us from the ultimate, the lowest level of slavery, and he lifted us up to the greatest level of geula. What did he do? Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu. God took us out to be our melech. Who is God? God is Elokeinu. He's the one that we love. He's ours. He's not a foreign God. He's our God. Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu. And not only that, but Misham. And he took us out of Mitzrayim and brought us to our land. So now we're avadim to a king that's really our king. And he brought us to our own land where we could be at home. So what he did is he took us from the lowest form of avdus, bayotzienu, and he brought us to the greatest level of geula. Using this concept, Rav Kook explains the next line in Avadim Hayinu, which I always found difficult. Ilu lahotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avosenu miMitzrayim, hari anu vanenu vnei banenu mishuabadim hayinu lefaro b'Mitzrayim. Very difficult line. And had God not took us out of Mitzrayim, we would still be avadim till this day, lefaro b'Mitzrayim. That seems like an obvious statement. If God hadn't taken us out, we would still be there. Rav Kook says, no, look at the words. Ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu avosenu miMitzrayim. Had God redeemed us from slavery, but had he left us there? Meaning, had God made us free men? Had he put us in the land of the free? But he kept us in chutz l'aretz. What would have resulted from that? Hare anu uvanenu vne banenu mishu abadim hayinu lefaro b'Mitzrayim. Essentially, we would still remain slaves to an eretz temeya, he says, to a defiled land. If God would have made us free men, but in chutz laretz, the spirit of chutz laretz, the defiled state of chutz laretz would have enslaved us. And we would have been slaves to a foreign set of values and norms, and we wouldn't be fully free to be obeyed as Hashem Yisbarach. So God, in his infinite wisdom, not only did he make us free men, but he brought us to a land where we could fully realize our potential to be Avdei Hashem. Wow. Okay, moving right along. Very important. At the end of that paragraph, it says, "Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu yodim es haTorah, mitzvah aleinu lesaper b'yetzias Mitzrayim." I always found this line very difficult. If we know the story already, why is there another mitzvah to tell the story Seder night? Not only that, but as a child, I remember coming home from school with the notebooks. And I knew it all. I had my Divrei Torah prepared. And as a child, I had all the pictures and all the simanim of the Seder. And I knew it all before coming in. So why is there a mitzvah to tell the child that knows already? And I'll never forget the feeling of every year sitting at the Seder table. And at a certain point, I used to put my head like this on my hand. When my father would say the same Divrei Torah again and again, and I wouldn't understand what the point of this is. I know this already. Until the Nesiva Shalom, he explained it to me. The Nesiva Shalom says that what happens on Seder night he says, it's called in the Sfarim, it's called Rosh Hashanah Le'emuna. Just like on Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, so there's a din in Shamayim, and you're being koveya, what's going to happen with you for the coming year? And God is determining what your madrega is going to be, what's going to happen to you. And all the gzeros are all planned out. When it comes to emuna, the level of emuna that you reach, or that you feel and experience Seder night, that's going to be koveya. That's going to set your level of emuna for the next year of your life. And all the challenges that you're going to meet between now and next Pesach, the amount of emunah and bitachon that you're going to be able to muster up in order to deal with those challenges, you're charging yourself up, you're preparing yourself for all those emunah challenges for the coming year. What you're doing is you're preparing yourself Seder night. The Seder night is the time when the recognition of God's intervention in history, and specifically in Jewish history, needs to be so crystal clear to you, so that you're able for the following year to put that emunah into practice. You need to be able to say, and whatever happens to you, I know the Ribbono Shel Olam is with me, and I know He's protecting me. And how I say this vort every year, but how much more so this year are we called upon to demonstrate a much higher level of emunah than I think we've ever had to before. And we need to continue to remind ourselves that the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching over us. And He is Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ah. So the Nesiva Shalom says, yeah, you know it already. You know all the stories. You know the Esther Makos. And you learned it all in God. But when you say it over on Pesach night, and you hear the same Divrei Torah from your father, and from your uncles, and from your sisters, and you hear the same things again, do it again. Say it again. Afilu kulanu chachamim. Because Seder night is not about learning something new. It's about experiencing what you already know. It's not about learning more information. It's about taking all that information that you know about Yetzias Mitzrayim and letting it seep into your heart and impressing upon you what that means, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching over you and delivering you from evil. So that's why Afilu Kulanu Chachamim Kulanu Zekeni Mitzvah L'Saper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's this night. The more you experience it this night, the more you'll be able to take that experience with you for the next year of your life and implement those lessons in Emunah when you're really called upon to do so. Okay, there's a beautiful vort of Rav Asher Weiss here that I love to say every year. The next paragraph of the Haggadah, if you're following, is Ma'aseh Rav Eliezer Rav Yehoshua, right? The four Tanaim, Shayu Mesubim B'Bnei Brak. And it says that they went all night, and they were talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim Kol Oso Halayla. And until what point? Ad Shabau Talmidehem, until their Talmidim came. The Amru Lahem Rabosenu Higia Zman Kriyash Mashal Shachris. Until the Talmidim came and informed them, it's time to daven. It's morning time. So Rav Asher Weiss asks, I don't get it. Usually the Rabbanim sit together with their Talmidim. It was the custom that the Talmidim would be Yoshev Eitzel Rabbah for Leil HaSeder. So why does this Maisa Shahaya, why does it indicate Shabau Talmidehem? Why are the Talmidim coming from the outside? Why aren't they right there? So Rav Asher Weiss brilliantly quotes a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that says the following. One of the four Tanaim there was Rabbi Eliezer. It says in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Beis, that when Rabbi Eliezer was Yoshev de Doresh, when he would teach Torah, there was this fantastic phenomenon. Panav Meiros, his face would literally shine. Ka'or Hachama, and it would shine like the rays of the sun. Ve'ein Adam Yodea Im Yom Im Laila. And it was impossible to tell. When you were sitting by Rabbi Eliezer, you could not tell if it was Yom or Laila. So Rav Asher Weitz wants to be Mechadesh. Of course there were Talmidim at the Seder. Of course the great Tanaim were sitting with their Talmidim. But the Talmidim at the Seder were incapable of saying, Higia Zman Kriya Shma Shel Shachris. Because when Rabbi Eliezer all night long was Yoshe B'Doresh, Ein Adam Yodea, Im Yom Im Laila, you couldn't tell it was dark outside. The room was full of light, the world was enlightened with the words of Torah, Rabbi Eliezer. So who needed to come to tell them it was morning? Ad Shabau Talmideh, the Talmidim on the outside, that were in Zoche, to have a seat at the table. They knew it was dark outside. They were the ones to notice the sunrise and say, Raboseinu, Higia Zman Kriya Shma Shel Shachris. I'm sorry if I haven't been telling you the numbers. I think we are up to eight, if I'm not mistaken. I think there should be eight. If I'm off, from now on, that's how I'm going to do my counting. Number eight, the next passage of the Haggadah, very short but sweet idea. Ad Shadarsha Ben Zoma, Shemar Leman Tizkor Es Yom Tzeischam Eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Chayecha Hayamin. Kol Yemei Chayecha, that's the Leilos. And the Chachamim argue, they say, Yemei Chayecha Oilam Hazeh, Kol Yemei Chayecha Lahavi Yimos HaMashiach. And what's the call? The call is to include that even Yimos HaMashiach, we're still going to be remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim. So I once heard a beautiful word. Usually, what's the word in Hebrew in the Gemara for including something? Usually it's the Rabos. What's Lahavi? Kol Yemei Chayecha Lahavi Liyimos HaMashiach. Every single day of your life should be for the purpose of Lahavi Liyimos HaMashiach. Everything you do, you should always dedicate yourself Lahavi Liyimos HaMashiach, to ask yourself, how can I speed up the redemption? How can I bring about Geulasam Shel Yisrael? Number nine. Chacham Mahu Omer, Ma Edos Vachukim Vamishpatim. The Chacham wants to know what these halachos are all about, and what do we tell him? Ein Maftir and Achara Pesach Afikoma, which means you're not allowed to eat after the Afikoma. Or in the times of the Korban Pesach, you can't eat anything after the Korban Pesach, which is a very strange halacha. Why is this halacha? Why is this halacha the one that we choose to share with the Chacham? He wants to know the halachos. He wants to know what these halachos are all about. And what are we telling him? You can't eat anything after the Pesach, the Korban Pesach. So I think it was the Ger Rebbe that said, what does the Chacham want to know? Why do you need all these mitzvos? Why can't you just be a Jew at heart? Why can't you just be a good Jew? I need all these halachos. I need all these formalities. I need a sovzman kriyat shma. I need a kashir of kazarias kabeitza. What do we tell the Chacham? Ein maftir nachar pesach afikoman. We want the Torah to be a lasting experience for you. We want the taste of the Korban Pesach to remain in your mouth. Without the structure of Judaism, it's just a fleeting experience. It's an emotional roller coaster. You feel it one day, you don't feel it the next day. You know what halacha provides for us? You know what the Eidos and the Chukim and Mishpatim, what it does is it creates an experience for us that lasts long after the actual Kiyum HaMitzvah. When you have the mitzvos And when you have all the halachos of Judaism, we have Devar Hashem is guiding you every step of the way, then the taste in your mouth, the experience, is something that's lasting. And it's not something that's forgotten the very next day. I thought that was a beautiful idea. Number 10. This is also from Rav Kook. It says, Rasha mahu omer, maha voda azoz lachem. So we get very upset with the Rasha. Why do we get upset with the Rasha? Because he said, lachem below lo. He removed himself from the community, right? But look at the Lashon of the Haggadah. Lefi shehotzi es atzmo min haklal, kafar be'ika. Because he removed himself from the community, therefore that constitutes an act of kfira. Kofar be'ika. And therefore he's a kofar. This is what we respond to the Rasha. So Rav Kook says it really should be the opposite, shouldn't it be? It should be lefi shekafar ve'ikar, because he is a kofar, because he's rejecting the basic truth of Torah. Therefore, hotzias atzmo min haklal. That's why he removed himself from the community. Why does it say because he removed himself from the community, therefore, this constitutes kfira? It really should be the other way around. So Rav Kook develops this idea that just like there's one God above, there's also one Jewish people down below. And the Shem Hashem Nikra Aleim, we are his representatives in this world. This is echoed in our tefillos on Mincha of Shabbos, Ata Echad, V'Shimcha Echad, but we right away say, U'mi Ke'amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Baretz. That means that the pathway to arriving at Hashem Echad is seeing the Jewish people as Echad. And therefore we say to the Rasha, Lefi Shehotzi Es Atzmo Min Haklal, the minute that you separated yourself from the Am Echad, this constitutes an act of Kfira. Because if you don't recognize down below that the Jewish people are one, you'll never be able to recognize that above, that there's one God in heaven. And Muna and the Ribbono Shel Olam needs to run through the Jewish people. You see God's miracles that have occurred through the Jewish people. You see that the Jewish people are a supernatural nation. This is how you arrive at Emuna. So if you separated yourself from your people, this means this definitely will lead to an act of kfira. There's no way for you to achieve full Emuna in God if you don't first have Emuna recognize the oneness of the Jewish people. Number 11. The Belzer Rebbe commented on what do we say to the Rasha? We say to the Rasha, Av Ata Hakei Eshina, which I think literally means make him angry enough that he shows his teeth. Meaning we're supposed to anger the Rasha. We're not supposed to show him a kirva. We're supposed to show him that we're angry with him to the point that he shows his teeth at us in anger. So the Belzer Rebbe said, there's another way to read that line. Afata keishinav, you should force him or bring him to the point where he reveals not his teeth, but shinav can also mean his shin. What does that mean, his shin? Rasha is Reish Shin Ayin. The Belzer Rebbe said, Rasha is Ra on the outside. His outside is Reish Ayin, but his inside is Shin. The three branches of the Shin is Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. That means every single Jew, every single Rasha, even if he appears evil on the outside, we have to believe in him that he has the Kedushas Ha'avos on the inside. And therefore, Hakei Ashina, if you ever come across a Rasha, try to bring about an understanding in him. try to bring him to the point where he will reveal his shin, where he will be able to reveal that inner Kedusha, bring him to the point where he can believe in himself, that he has Kedushas Ha'avos within him. Okay, number 12. Ah, yes. If you look at the, this is a famous question in the Haggadah. There's a bit, the question of the Rosh and the question of the Chacham are very similar. Rosh Mahu Omer, Maha Voda Azos Lachem. And we say this is a terrible question. This is a question of an evil son. But what does the Chacham say? Maha Edos Vachukim Amishpatim Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. It's a very similar question. Almost the same Lashon, but that question is praised. That's the question of a Chacham. What's the difference? A lot of answers are given to this question. However, the Rav Asher Weiss says something beautiful here, and I saw it in some other Haggadahs as well. Every one of the four questions of the Arba Banim is introduced by the Torah. The Torah gives a few words of introduction, and it states the question of that ben. So three times in the Torah it says, Ki yish'olcha. Once in the Torah it says, Ki yomru lachem b'neichem. Before the question of the ben harasha, Ma avoda azos lachem, it says, Ki yomru. What's the difference in Ki yomru and Ki yish'alu? Yish'alu means a shayla that people are looking for an answer for. They're searching for an answer. But the Ben HaRasha isn't asking Ma Avoda Azos Lachem, it's Ki Yomru. He's making a statement. He's not posing a question that he's really looking for an answer for. This reminds me of the story of Reb Chaim Mibrisk, who once was having a dialogue with an apikores. And the apikores had a whole list of questions about his emunah. And Reb Chaim Mibrisk said, listen, I'm more than happy to answer your questions. Just tell me one thing. Did you have your questions and then you left the derech? Or you left the derech and then you had your questions? So he said, Rebbe, first I left the derech, and then I came up with the list of questions. So Reb Chaim turned to him and said, your questions are not questions, they're terutzim. What you have is a list of terutzim to justify this new way of life. So a question, just because it's posed as such, doesn't always mean that what the person is really looking for is an answer. That's what we say to the Rosh Alachem below low. We don't feel that the Rosh is really looking for an answer to his problems. He's really just trying to justify an evil way of life. Okay, moving on in the Haggadah. I feel bad that I can't take questions. I'm sure that you have, but please feel free to email me. Or you can put it in the chat on the side. Okay, I think we're up to, what number are we? I was at 13 now. Are we doing 13? I believe we're up to 13. The next passage has the Lashon. Give me one second. Yeah, in the passage Baruch Shomer Avtochaso, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es Haketz Lasos. What's Chishev Es Haketz Lasos? Pashut Pshat is, God made a cheshbon. He took off from the years that we were supposed to be in Egypt. It was supposed to be 400. We ended up being 210. Kates is a gematria 190. Kadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es Haketz. He led us out of Egypt 190 years early. The question is, why did he do that? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam let us go a little more than halfway through the Galus? There are three answers given why the Ribbono Shel Olam let us go early. Answer number one, he remembered the Zechus HaAvos. He didn't let us go because we were deserving, but because of his love for the Avos HaKadoshim and for the Imahos, he remembered us and he let us go before our time as a chesed to the Avos HaKadoshim. So answer number one is the Zechus Avos. Answer number two, in the name of the Ari HaKadosh, the Ari HaKadosh says, had God waited one more moment, we would have fallen into Nun Sharei Tumah. We would have reached the 50th level of Tumah. And then Jewish history would have stopped. We wouldn't be able to continue into Geula. We wouldn't have gone to Eretz Yisrael. We wouldn't have built the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, in order to perpetuate Jewish history, so God, Kivyocha, was forced to redeem us before our time because we reached the Memtes Sharei Tumah. And answer number three that is given, that the Shibud was so severe, the suffering that the Jewish people suffered in Egypt for those 210 years was Shaveh, that equals the suffering that the Jewish people normally would have endured during the 400-year period. So we were let gone early because the 210 years of suffering, that's equal to what God meant when he said, Arba Me'ot Shana. So Rav Asher Weiss makes a brilliant comment. If you look at the first few psukim of Parshas Va'era, it sounds like God himself says these three reasons to Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, what are the three reasons that we went early? Zechus Avos, the Ari HaKadosh, that we have a whole future before us that we have to fulfill. And finally, Koshi HaShibud. Look at the first few lines of Parshas Va'era, where God appears to Moshe, and God tells Moshe it's time to leave. What does he say to him? Va'era el Avram el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov. First he says, I'm remembering the Avos. And then he says, V'gam ha'kimosi es brisi isam, osam. L'seis lam es eretz kana. In addition, I have a bris, I have a covenant to fulfill. There's a whole future ahead of them that I have to make sure is fulfilled. This is the Ari HaKadosh, that had they sunk to the 50th level of Tumah, they wouldn't be able to continue. And finally, the Gam Ani Shamati is Nakas B'nei Yisrael. Asher Mitzrayim Avidim Osam. And I hear the pain of the Jewish people. I hear their crying. This is the Koshi HaShibud that was concentrated into the 210 years. So it sounds like that God gave all three of those reasons to Moshe Rabbeinu for delivering them early. We don't have a lot more time because I have another shiur coming up in a few minutes, but let's just do a couple more. This is a vort that I think the Gruss said. It happens to be my favorite because I grew up with this vort. My father, Shashem Yarich Lo Yamav Shnosav, used to say this every year. Later on in the Haggadah, we have the Machlokas HaTanoim. How many makos did God actually deliver upon the Mitzrim? Pashup shot in the Psukim, of course, there are 10. But then we have Shitas Rabbi Yossi Haglili, who darshans from a Pasuk, that it's really Chamishi makos. It's not really Eser. It's really Eser multiplied by 5. And then you have Rabbi Eliezer, who says it's what? Wow, he says it's 200. Right? In Mitzrayim, you have 40. And then Al Hayam, you have another 200. And then you have Rabbi Akiva. And in Mitzrayim, it's 50. Al Hayam, It's 250. L'may nafka mina, the Gruff said. Who cares exactly how many makos there were, whether it was 10, whether it was 250, or some number in the middle. Masha haya haya. May nafka mina. So the Gruff says, and this word of the Gruff takes on a new significance this year. There is a pasuk in Chumash where God says to the Jewish people, Kol hamachala asher samti b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha. God says to the Jewish people, any makkah that I brought about to the Egyptians, I'm going to protect you from forevermore. And God gave a promise to the Jewish people that these makkos will never take their toll on the Jewish people. So the Gra said these Tanaim are looking for ways to maximize that number. The Tanaim are looking for drushos and the psukim to maximize those makos, because the more makos that the mitzvim suffered from, the greater bris, the greater that, the more meaningful that covenant is between God and the Jewish people of lo asim alecha ki ani Hashem rokecha. Let's just do one more, and with this one I'll end. I'll say a ma'isa shahaya. In Dayenu, we have ilu kara lanu es hayam Dayenu. Some of you perhaps have heard me say this before. I think it's one of the Yesodas Ha'amuna. We say in Dayenu, if you just split the sea for us, this would have been enough for us to be thankful to you, Borei Olam. Maisa Shahaya, that a young child was sitting at the Seder of his grandfather. And the grandfather was so filled with hislavos when singing Dayenu, and specifically when he sings about Kriyas Yamsu, that the grandfather, the Zayda, got up to dance. And the young child is looking at his Zayda and says, Zayda, I have a question. Why is it that Kriyas Yamsu brings you so much joy? For the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's really no big deal. Kriyas Yamsu is not any more fascinating or more astonishing than the sun rising in the morning, or the flowers outside, or the clouds in the sky. So why is Kriyas Yamsu making you dance, Zaidi? He said to his grandfather. And the grandfather said back to him, my son, my child, I'll give you a mashal l'mah davar dome. Let me give you a mashal that will explain this elation that I'm feeling. This can be compared to a master sculptor who used to make these sculptures and put them in the center of the town. The problem was that this sculptor was so brilliant and so talented that all of his sculptures looked exactly like real life. So he used to take these sculptures that were really works of art, but he would put them in the center square of the town and nobody would notice them. So he would sculpt this tree, and he would put the tree, the sculpture of a tree, he would put it in the center square, and he would stand nearby at a nearby park bench, and he would look to see, is anyone going to recognize my work of art? Is anyone going to appreciate my talent? But unfortunately, everyone would just walk by this sculpture, no one would recognize that it's anything special. And he created a dog, and he made a park bench that looked exactly like the park bench that he was sitting on. And he would put it in the center square, but everything just looked too real. So nobody stopped to appreciate the brilliance of this artist. Until one day he came home and he looked very depressed, and his wife asked him what's going on. So he explained to his wife, no one is recognizing my works of art. So his wife said, why don't you make a horse? He said, what is that going to do? It's just going to look like a regular horse. She says, take my word for it. Just make a horse. So he sculpts this horse, and he makes a perfect horse that looks exactly like a real horse. And then she says, now take out a saw. And he brings her a saw. She says, cut the horse into two. And he cuts the horse in two. She says, put the two halves of the horse in the center square of the town. And he puts the two halves of the horse, and he's at a nearby park bench. And within seconds, hundreds and hundreds of people have gathered around. What is going on here? Who has formed this perfect horse and divided it into two? And they start looking around, and he raises his hand. He says, hey, it's me. I'm the one that made that horse. And now that he had everybody's attention, he said, do you see the dog? Do you see the tree? Do you see the park bench? That's all my work of art. So said the Zayda to the son, you know what the problem is? You're right. For God, Kriyas Yamsu was no more difficult. It's really a no-brainer, just like the sun rising in the morning. But you know what the problem is? Every single morning we get up and we see that sunrise and we walk right by it. And we see the beautiful world around us. And we see the laws of nature and physics. And we see the trees and the flowers and we see people and we walk right by it. You know what God needed to do once in history to make us realize the brilliance of the artist behind it? He had to take the yam and cut it into two so that we would recognize not the yam, so that we would recognize the trees and the birds and the sunrise and the sunset. We should be Zocher Rabosai, like the Ramban writes at the end of Parsha's Bo, where he says that Mehanisim Agluyim, from the revealed Nisim, we're really supposed to learn, Ein Teva, Shekol Ma'asav Nisim, and we have to recognize and internalize that God is behind every single phenomenon in nature, and he's behind every single phenomenon in history. And what's going on now is presents us with a huge challenge on one hand. How are we going to get through this? We don't even see the other side. On the other hand, it provides us with an opportunity to use our emuna like we've never used it before. To realize that the Ribono Shel, the artist, has something in mind. We're in the midst of it. We can't understand it. But ain teva ba'ola. This is not God's form of Russian roulette. Ein teva, like the Ramban says, mehanisim agluyim, from the revealed nisim, we should learn for ourselves, shekol ma'asav, nisim he. There really is no such thing as nature. Everything is orchestrated from above. We should be zocha mitocha emuna hazos. We should be zocha to benisan migalu, benisan asidim migael. We should all, I know that my tefillos are that I should see the Talmidim again for Kayadzman, but I say to myself, why aren't I aspiring for more than that? My tefillos really should be, let us see each other in 2 short weeks from now in Har Habayis, the Mokom HaMikdash. We should be makri b'korban Pesach. We should be nochal min hazvachim u'min hapsachim. And then, wait to see what Kaidzman is going to be like after that. Shkoyach Rabosai, a good Yom Tov to everybody. And enjoy your learning. The Zechus of the Torah.
Thank you so much, Rabbi.
Shkoyach, everyone.
Rabbi.
Thank you.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Is Baicham on this Zoom or another one?
I'll send an. Can you just send this link?
Yeah, probably a way to send it out now.
I'll just send out this link.
Or just send it out.
Send the link. I can send the link to the group chat.
Oh, okay. Or do that.
Okay, good idea. Okay, give me like 5 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Yeah,
Sarah Gindy is here? Hold on. Is that Sarah Gindy or is that just her computer? Sarah Gindy is an old student of mine. Do they send us out to Shalvin for women?
Hmm.
Probably.
That's not so appropriate. All right,
Sarah, if you can hear me, mazel tov on your wedding.
Oh, she left.
Okay, guys, give me a few minutes to just to freshen up, just to get a drink. All right?
Yeah, you got it, Abby.
Great.
Hmm.